Well, thank you, Pastor Liz, for that introduction. You bring a guest speaker in and you give him 10 minutes, he better time himself. So I'm starting that right now. We're going to get through this. So as she said, my name is Jason Johnston, and along with my wife, Christine, she's here with our three children. We work with the Navigators at Clemson University, where our motto is to know Christ and to make him known. So our vision is to disciple college students, to help them in their walk with Jesus, but then we want them to be able to pass that along to others. And my wife grew up in this church, and we want to thank this church for their support, not only of our ministry, but also for the reason that brings us here. And that was with the passing of my mother-in-law, Christine's mother, Sue Pieper, who was a longtime member of this church over 30 years. And that happened rather unexpectedly. And so that's what's brought us here. And we're thankful for this church for the way that they've supported our family during this very difficult time. So our passage today was John 6, 25 through 35. And in context of the passage, Jesus has just done a whole bunch of miracles. So he fed 5,000 people with just a small meal, and then he had been healing all the sick, and then he had come across the sea. He actually did that by walking across the water, and that's where we pick up our passage today. And what I want to talk about with this passage is three questions that are asked of Jesus, and then one promise that he gives, a promise of hope that we can take with us on this Thanksgiving service. So the first question that's asked of Jesus, it's not asked directly, but he actually infers it. That question is, Jesus, what are you going to do for me? Because the people had just been fed. They'd seen him do this amazing miracle, and now they're coming to him hoping that they can get more. And so Jesus sniffs this out, because in verse 26 he says, listen, you're seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. So he's saying, you're coming to me because you want more free stuff. You want some handouts. And so as we think about what is it that brings us to God, or what brings us to Jesus, or maybe even to this service today, have we come to God looking for temporal things? We're asking him to give us, maybe as these people, their daily bread. Maybe we're hoping that he would provide some healing for some sickness and some suffering that we're taking. Maybe we come to God looking for health, wealth, and prosperity, financial blessing. Or the people of this time who were really hoping that the Messiah would grant them political liberation, that he would free them from the Romans. Perhaps that's why we might come to God. But this is the warning that Jesus gives. He challenges all of us not to work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which he says the Son of Man will give us, for it's on him that God the Father has set his seal. Jesus points us away from our temporal wants and needs. He points us to our deeper need, our greatest need, and that is something spiritual. Jesus wants to meet our greatest spiritual needs. Okay, Jesus, so if you want to meet our spiritual needs, question number two that they ask him directly is, what are the works that we must do? Jesus, what must I do to please God? Now, working with college students, we do a lot of evangelism and we do some outreach at Clemson. And we often ask students a question about what they're trusting in. We say to them, if God said to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And if you think about that question, we're really trying to get down to, what are you trusting in? And there's kind of two ways that you might answer that question. On the one hand, you might say, well, I'm trusting in my works. I'm good enough. I've done enough good deeds. And so you'd hope, I'm good enough. I can trust in my works. On the other hand, you might say, well, if I'm honest with myself, I mean, we just did our confession together. I have a lot of sin. I've got brokenness. I have a lot of things that I'm not proud of. We'd say, boy, if I stood before God, I wouldn't know what to say. I'd be ashamed. I'd have a lot of sin. Well, interesting, because Jesus will address both of those things. In Matthew 5:20, talking to the religious leaders, he said this, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus would say this, take the most righteous people you know, so at this time it's the scribes and Pharisees, unless your righteousness exceeds that, you can't get into the kingdom of heaven. So for those of us that might trust our works, wow, that's kind of a scary thing. You and I, by our works, cannot please God. This should not surprise us because it's a theme throughout the scriptures. Romans 3:20 puts it so beautifully, where it says, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Well, what then for those of us that would say, listen, if I'm honest and if I take a look at the law, my sins are too great. What should I do? Well, in Matthew 21:31, again talking to the religious teachers, Jesus said this to them. He said, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God ahead of you. Now that's a scandalous thing to say to some really religious people. They had all their things together. And he would say to them, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, the most despised among them, They were walking right on into the kingdom of God. How could that be? How could those people be the ones who are going in? Jesus, if you say my works aren't enough, and you also say my sins aren't too great for God, what then should I do? Well, in verse 29, Jesus gives us the answer in our passage. He says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him and whom God has sent, and that is Jesus. The work that he's asking us to do, if we want to meet our greatest spiritual needs, we must place our faith in the work of Christ alone. So question three then, they ask him, how do we know this is true? If we got some skeptics out there, if we're doubting in our heart, Jesus, how do we know that you are the way, that you're the one we should place our faith in? That's the question they ask him. Verse 60, they say, verse 30, they say, what sign do you do that we may see and believe? What work will you perform? Now, this is pretty interesting. They've just seen Jesus feed 5,000 people. They've just seen him heal the sick, and they say, hey, why don't you do something to prove that you are who you say you are? It's interesting. They're asking for more. And I wonder on this Thanksgiving day, those of us that are saying, God, prove yourself to me. Prove that you love me. Could we all take a minute and stop and think, what has God done already in your life, in the past? How has he shown himself faithful? How has he already proven his love? You see, they were skeptics and they said, Jesus, why don't you prove that you are who you say? And then interestingly enough, they point to Moses. They say, Moses, he gave us manna from heaven. Now, Jesus corrects them. He says, that wasn't Moses, that was God. Now, bread flowing down from heaven, that's pretty cool. I think we would enjoy that. But that manna didn't last very long. It was here a day, and then it would spoil very quickly. And it was pointing to something greater, something eternal that God would provide. Jesus would say that he is the true bread that gives life to the world. For you and I, if you're coming to God to get something, if you want him to meet your physical needs, he will point you not to your physical needs, but to your greater need, your spiritual need. And Jesus is the true bread. He is what you've been looking for. As we come to God, as we're looking to him, he's pointing us to Christ. Christ is ultimately what we're looking for. But if you are a skeptic like the crowd, Jesus did provide some authority. He did ultimately provide the reason why we could trust in him. In Matthew 12, talking about this same issue, they said, well, give us a sign that we can prove that you have this authority. And Jesus said, I'll give you no sign except the sign of Jonah. Because as Jonah was in the fish for 3 days, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He pointed us to what he would ultimately do. He says, if you want a sign, just wait, it's coming. The sign that he is who he said he would be was his resurrection, him coming back to life. He proves it. So for our three questions today from this text, first, Jesus, what are you going to do for me? Jesus would live the perfect life that we couldn't live. Jesus would do that for us. He would obey in all the ways that we didn't obey. Jesus would die the penalty that all of us deserved. He would pay the price for our sins, but he wouldn't stay dead. He would be risen from the dead. God would raise him from the dead, and he would have authority over death and over hell. The second question, Jesus, what must I do to please God? What can I do? And he would say, you don't have to do anything, but place your faith, place your trust in his life, his death, and his resurrection. That third question, how will you prove it? How do we know that you're real? He answers that in his resurrection. It's the ultimate proof that he is who he says he was. The entire Christian faith is hinged upon the resurrection of Christ. Answering those three questions, Jesus then gives us the promise, the last verse from our passage. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you that you have provided the way, that Christ is ultimately what we're looking for. We thank you that you care enough for our physical needs to meet them, but ultimately, Lord, you desire to provide our deepest need, our spiritual needs, in the life, in the death, and the resurrection of Christ. Thank you for my friends here, Lord. I pray that you would fill our hearts with gratitude as we give thanks for all that you provided. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.